This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene this morning. Joining me is WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Columbus Dispatch food reviewer John Christensen. And you're invited to join the conversation as well. It's 292-8513. You can also write to us at allsides@wosu.org. Well, let's get started with some events that are coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we've got a big event at Franklin Park at the Conservatory, the new garden, which has been brought to us by the Scotts Company, which is really quite extraordinary. It's just south of the Glass House and on the east side of the park. The festivities start tonight with kind of a big gala, but continue through the weekend.
Now, is this a kickoff for the garden itself?
It is a kickoff for the garden itself. And there's a field-to-table event tonight, which is focusing on local foods prepared by local chefs. But we've got some out-of-towners making some presentations over the weekend. It's really, I think, Rich is...
I rode my bike through there just yesterday, actually, and the setup is
now, would this be your scooter bike?
No, my actual bike. I was getting some exercise. Thank you. But the setup is absolutely beautiful. It covers 7 acres of the park, actually, in total. It was donated much of the funds from Scott's Miracle-Gro Company, I believe to the tune of around $4 million. And it's truly striking. You know, wonderful pavers all over the place. They've got this great fire cooking center display.
I think our friend Mr. Boudreaux had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, no, there's a tribute to Jim actually on there.
And several different kinds of gardens. They've got, it's an idea of
so
locally
this is a
produced.
Permanent it's a installation.
Permanent
it's not just for this
installation.
Event.
And it is essentially brought about by the great community garden program going on out of the conservatory, which has, I think, something like 112 community gardens sponsored throughout the city and run by the conservatory, where local neighborhoods, a lot of them urban neighborhoods, have the kids growing food. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrific program. In fact, it's gone so well that the National Community Garden Organization has moved to Columbus because of this.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all part of the weekend festivities. But, you know, they've got separate vegetable gardens and berry gardens and bee gardens and herb gardens and rose gardens. And it's really quite spectacular.
So that's worth a trip to Franklin Park just in and of itself to go and see all
right.
these
gardens. Yeah, you don't have to make it this weekend. But if you go this weekend, they've got a couple of different programs each day. One at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, a chef by the name of Michel Nichon, who is the author and CEO of Wholesome Wave. There's a lot of greenness going on in this event as well.
As with everything.
At 11:30, Mary Carlin, who is the author of Wood-Fired Cooking, is going to be speaking and doing some demonstrations, and I'm sure Mr. Boudreaux will be close by.
With his fire marshal.
That's right. When he grows up, he wants to be a fireman. On Sunday, our own Rich Rosendale, who spends some time in Columbus still, will be making a presentation at 11:30 a.m. and at 1:30, Mary Lou Shusko, author of Farm and Foods of Ohio. I think it's relatively inexpensive as to admission to these programs at maybe $10 or $12 for adults and less for students and younger children, I think, getting free.
And it should be noted, actually, that after this weekend, if you know money's tight right now, this part of the park will actually be free access. You don't have to have a ticket to the main conservatory to access this part of the park. I made a walk through there yesterday, and very easy.
Yeah. Beautifully done.
Are these wood-fired ovens part of the permanent display there?
Oh, yes. Very permanent. There's an area probably maybe 20 by 40 in the center of the garden that has – 5 different wood-fired stations, some of which are brought to you by architects that flew in from Portland to install them. There's a pizza oven. There's a green egg. There's an open pit barbecue kind of thing in the center. And the other two corners have a smoker, and I can't recall what the fifth is. But
is this something you can build in the city if you have the time and the patience?
Probably. I think you can. I don't know.
Zoning wise, I don't know if that's possible.
I don't want to speak for Mr. Brennan and Bexley. Maybe I'll get in trouble. I think a lot of them are, particularly things like the green egg, would be usable just about anywhere, of course.
Now, I wouldn't think these are open to the public, that there would really be a hazard or a fire problem, that these would just be open on special occasions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the gardening section is open to the public. Yeah, you can't just go down there and cook a pizza in the wood-fired oven.
It'd be fun.
I wish, yeah.
So we're talking about Field to Table, and this is an event this weekend at Franklin Park.
And they have a large demonstration kitchen, which opens up to open air.
So there really is this full integration between food now and garden and planting at the park itself. And this has there been much publicity about this? Because it seems to me, I haven't heard of it.
You know, it has been so popular among the folks who are members and participants in a lot of things at the conservatory that the event sold out before the invitations were printed. They have over 550 people, and I don't think they ever had, for tonight's event, the dinner, ever had a public offering, as it were.
So this is a buy ticket only?
For this evening, yes.
292-8513, this is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We are talking specifically about Field to Table at Franklin Park, but we're talking about restaurants as well. If you'd like to call in with your favorite restaurant recommendations, you can do so at 292-8513, or you can write at allsides@wosu.org. Let's take a look at the restaurant scene. As you mentioned, Rich Rosendale will be back in town for this specific event, but he has moved to the Greenbrier in West Virginia,
right,
although Rosendale's remains operational.
Exactly. He has become the executive chef at the Greenbrier under its new ownership, which is a local ownership, not the Marriott or some of the other bidders, but a guy actually from that county in West Virginia who became, I think, a mining baron or something and decided he wasn't going to let all the people in that county lose whatever there are, 8,000 jobs affiliated with the Greenbrier. And they came back and essentially stole Rich away, but he still remains an owner and a participant and more or less an executive chef in the sense of menu design, et cetera.
And he had been there before he opened Rosendale.
He had.
So the question is, what will Rosendale's be?
And they had only recently started that kind of dichotomy of restaurants, the downstairs being more a simpler menu. I don't want to say it's Americana, but somewhat like that. And with the upstairs being still fancy dining. And that was doing very well, so I hope it continues to do.
I think one concern, a lot of those price-fixed meals that they were doing in the upstairs of Rosendale's restaurant, a lot of that I think was spearheaded by their old sous chef who they just lost 3 months ago. So then to have your executive chef leave right on top, I think is going to leave a lot of questions to be answered as far as if they're going to be able to continue with the quality that they're known for.
John, do you know who is currently in charge of the kitchen? I do not.
No, I was just going to ask you because I haven't received any announcements about any kind of a new team. All I've received have been very strong statements that the restaurant remains open, remains in operation like it had before. But we don't know who the new people in the kitchen will be on a day-to-day basis.
So they better invite us in so we try them out.
Or at least get the word out about what they're doing because, I mean, if none of us have really heard anything.
Well, and of course in June, another very fine restaurant or a very fine restaurant, Henke's Fine Cuisine, on Front Street closed, and there is a very talented staff there. I don't know if all of those people found jobs or not.
I think all have now.
I believe they were actually all placed right about the time that they went out of business. Mm-hmm. The executive chef, Asa Rodriguez, I believe, told us that, and he eventually landed on his feet also over at the Columbus Club, private club.
And, Rich, you mentioned that Front Street is going to soon be open in both directions and that could have been the one and single thing that had saved Henke's if it had simply happened sooner.
Yeah, I always thought that the traffic pattern, because you had to approach Henke's from the south, was a detriment to attendance. And a lot of the stuff that seemed to get started about the time the Short North was taking off and the stuff in the brewery district, which went great guns for a while,
mm-hmm,
faded quickly. And I think part of that was because it's very difficult to access, at least in that portion of Front Street directly east of the Supreme Court building, that is now two-way. And it appears as if they're trying to create everything south of that, at any rate, to be two-way.
292-8513, it's All Sides Weekend. We're talking about restaurants. with Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, and Columbus food Dispatch food critic John Christensen. If you have something to add, give us a call, 292-8513. And I'm not sure if I'm going to remember the name of the restaurant up on Riverside Drive that recently closed, but I believe it is now the site of another, a new restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, I think.
Yes, it seems that we're in the middle of a boomlet for Mexican restaurants because most of the new openings that I'm aware of have either been Mexican or Oriental or Asian. And the one on Riverside Drive is being taken over, or had been taken over, by Mike Tibbetts, who is part of the Barnum and Tibbetts partnership, and still is with respect to some of the restaurants such as Tucci's. And he's running the one on Riverside on his own now, and he will open up a similar one on Polaris Parkway east of 71 at the former B&T Tavern location. So we'll have two frontline Mexican restaurants just from him, and then
the B&T on Polaris is no longer operating as a fine dining.
It's being converted into the same exact Mexican operation as the one on Riverside, although, of course, with
this is in the La Tabla location, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that was considered a pretty good restaurant, as I recall, that had a fairly spacious parking lot, and yet the restaurant failed to thrive there. What do they think the difference is going to be with a Mexican cuisine?
I don't know. I don't have any insider information as to what kind of a lease deal he got, but the La Tabla owners had a very successful restaurant as far as getting people in there. It was crowded for a long time, but apparently they couldn't make money even on that basis. So that tells me there's an overhead problem. And Mike Tibbetts is, I think, a very smart operator and a very seasoned one, and I can't imagine him taking on a space that's that can't make money even when it's full. But again, I have no inside information on that. In the Mexican scene, we also have Cantina Lareda, which is a Texas-based chain, kind of an upscale Mexican, that has opened up in the Polaris area. So we're really in the middle of quite a number of Mexican openings.
We're talking about restaurants here in Columbus today, 292-8513. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a minute.
WOSU News reports on stories from around the state and in your backyard.
According to the Academic Performance Report Card, many of the districts in suburban Columbus are rated A or A+.
The Columbus community continues to support the district because there is a demonstrated academic improvement each year.
Get more from your news with the award-winning WOSU News Team on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and Classical Music.
And good morning. Thanks for joining us for All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. Currently 70 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20. In the weather forecast for today, sunshine and a high of 78 degrees, a few clouds this evening and a low of 52. For Saturday, mostly sunny and a high of 75. For the game Saturday night, clear skies and the low overnight Saturday is 56 degrees, but no rain in the forecast for Saturday. And on Sunday, sunny skies and a high of 78. And now back to All Sides Weekend.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants with the pros today. Rich Terapak, his son Rich Terapak, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with Dispatch food reviewer John Christensen. And if you'd like to participate in the conversation or perhaps recommend a restaurant that's one of your favorites, you can give us a call, 292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We were talking during that short break about the Dine Originals weekend, and this is a group of independent restaurant owners here in Columbus, and this is a special pricing that has been repeated now from the spring, which was a pretty successful venture.
Right, and I don't have the list of names with me, but there must be at least 20.
No, I think there's more like 40 or 50.
Right, it's grown quite a bit. Yeah.
And this is not to be confused with Columbus Restaurant Week, which is a lot of the bigger restaurants, you know, and chains involved as well. These are independently owned mom-and-pop shops that can all be found on DineOriginals.com.
Yeah. And they're fixed price menus ranging from $15 in some places to $35 at the very high end restaurants.
And the local thread is that they're all locally owned. I mean, the common thread to the whole operation. And that's one theme that I think we just like to emphasize time after time, that locally owned restaurants are the ones that are the most worth patronizing, not because we're trying to be boosters, but because you have the hands-on aspects that come only with local ownership. And in recent years, you also have this much greater emphasis on local sourcing of the ingredients. And the result is something you can see on your plate, and I think it's also much easier on your wallet, given the quality that you get.
And on your palate.
Yes.
Indeed.
I live near a small independently owned restaurant, and just last weekend I was walking in an alley near my house that the restaurant faces, and up pulled a small truck, and a father and son got out, opened up the back hatch, and pulled out some crates of fresh grown vegetables. And it was just, you know, it's one of those little moments that's kind of a slice of life Americana thing. And you hear about this all the time, and it's not often that you see it.
Yeah,
right there being delivered.
Yeah, it's also very French.
Yeah. No, I've seen the opposite happen in front of a very upscale restaurant that is part of a chain which charges prices that would allow them to grow their own food,
Broad
and High if they had to. Only what was being unloaded from there was frozen potatoes, mostly French fries, from Idaho. I mean, from a factory in Idaho. Mm. And this is a restaurant that has charged more than any of the fancy restaurants you can think of.
You know, this has a fuel surcharge to go along with shipping them all the way across the country. You went to L'Antibes last night, Rich, right?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to Cindy and I went, and I wanted to just try out one of the Dine Originals places, and I'd heard good things about what Chef Matt was doing over at L'Antibes. And, for a $30 price fixed menu, you know, the first course you had an option of a cauliflower soup or a lump blue crab cake with a Master Beurre Blanc, which is what I had. And then we had a duck breast with a raspberry cassis glaze and mashed potatoes and sautéed spinach. And then also I had a chocolate mousse. Cindy had a creme brulee. I mean,
did you bring us anything?
No. And unbelievably,
nor his parents.
Unbelievably, I cleaned all three plates. It was just outstanding. For $30, you cannot beat it.
And that's a great restaurant, too.
For those of you who don't know, L'Antibes is in the short north. What is the
Warren and High Street.
Warren and High.
And it's a lovely room. We did a review probably a year or so ago when they were open for a very short time for lunch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A very small, very intimate, very romantic setting.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants, and Matt is on the line. Go ahead.
I just wanted to call in. I heard you talking about Barcelona earlier.
Really?
I had been there. Yeah. Not Barcelona. I'm sorry, Rosendale.
There you go.
And I had been there a couple of times in the last 3 months, and I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't think the quality had gone down, although I drank a little less, which made the meal a little less exciting. I mean, I thought the quality of the food was still great.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Actually, the bar menu has always been good, so you can do both.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And I did a price fix menu upstairs both times, and the view wasn't great. But the menu was very exciting.
The view of High Street?
Well, yeah, I think because when you're upstairs, you're kind of closed off unless you have a couple of those end tables that look down on the restaurant. Mm.
It's probably a good place to go and just people watch and just watch what's going on inside instead of outside.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
And tell us about the price of your fixed price menu.
Yeah, I remember when we went 3 months ago, I thought there were several options, but this time it seemed to be a set price fix for about $55 or $65. And I did that with a wine pairing, which I think ended up being about $100. But it was very good, a little expensive for Columbus, of course. But
And that's for one meal. That's not you and a date.
No, that was for one meal.
Yeah.
I think we spent about $250 between the two of us. Okay. I opted for the foie gras as like one of the appetizers, which made it a little more expensive. But
of course.
So you went outside the fixed price.
Went outside the fixed price, I guess. Yeah, it was fixed price plus $10 for the foie gras.
Yeah, some options.
Yeah, there were some options. And I really liked the sous vide cooking, too. So I thought it was just interesting. They didn't really talk about it that much. The waiter didn't, but I know that they kind of stick to that process there.
Well, you can see that process, I believe, in, no pun intended, in much more detail at Details next door in the, if you sit at the bar and watch your food being prepared.
Upstairs.
Oh, right. Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's Details. I think it's a terrific place, especially for the cost. Similar, same kitchen virtually, and they do a terrific job for under
$10. Small plates?
Yeah, tapas, yeah, pot stickers. Mm-hmm. They have a tartar taco, rib taco. Slides, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much.
I'll try that, and I'll try the bistro too, I think, next door. So I think those both sound like good options.
Yeah.
Outside of upstairs.
Thanks very much for your call this morning, Matt.
Thank you.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants with John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch and our own restaurant reviewers, Rich Terapak, along with his son, Rich. We were talking a little bit about Dining Originals and their special pricing week. You were saying that you had eaten dinner last night at L'Antibes. Now, is that a fixed menu where you have a certain amount of choices?
In their case, they had a choice of, two appetizers, two entrees, and I believe three desserts, which is nice. Most places do have some sort of variety. A couple places, I think it is a very set menu. And often on these, as dining courtesy, it's not polite to make substitutions into these menus.
And this is something that the refectory has been doing for a while on a Monday through Thursday basis. And I believe it's also now $30 for
I think it's $23.95.
Yeah, yes. That one was quite reasonable, as I recall.
And it changes every week. They try to do something somewhat regional every week, different region of France. So it's an amazing value because it's three real courses, and there's at least two choices with each course. And the only add-on I know there is $20 if you want a filet mignon with it. So that I think the message there is stick to the menu, which is really quite adventuresome sometimes.
In what
and they have a great wine list at the refectory.
Yes, because you can order anything from the regular menu and you can order from the entire wine list from the main restaurant. So it's still, I think, the unbeatable value year in and year out. But it reminds me to tell people that to look for fixed price meals at any of their favorite restaurants, because there is more attempt during the recession to give value by doing something like that, where you're not cheapening the food, you're not necessarily even cutting down on the portion sizes, mm-hmm. but by having the number of options reduced and having a package, the restaurant can deliver a lot of well-prepared food for a very reasonable price compared to ordering from a vast a la carte menu.
This is has been a practice in Europe. I remember in our days of trying to go to Europe on $50 a day or whatever, going to fine restaurants and finding price-fixed menus every day. I'm glad we're kind of picking up on the practice.
Well, the Claremont was offering five items, I think, earlier this summer, and that was a fixed price. Maybe $15 or $16.
$15. Five entrees for $15.
Yeah.
And again, that was very successful.
And Ruth Chris Steakhouse, I think, was doing that at one point during the summer, as well as Mitchell's, maybe.
Yeah, I think Hyde Park right now is doing a summer of 69 special for two people eat for basically $69 with a salad, and you can get like a 7-ounce filet and a dessert.
And that's a bargain.
Which for Hyde Park is a steal.
Now we've heard, speaking of Dine Originals and local ownership, the Bexley Monk has changed owners within the last month. And speaking of bargains, they are offering on Wednesdays at least a pizza and a glass of wine for $10.
Yeah, they
and
have
this
a,
is one of their little fire.
Right, they have pizzas. They have a brick fired oven, I believe.
One of the first along.
Yeah, over there, and we talked to one of the new owners, Remo Sturpe, I believe. I might have butchered his name. He was there. He's the front of the house guy, and he said they're going to do a huge facelift on the menu, bring in a lot more seafood items, crab legs, king crab, lobster, all that kind of stuff. I wish them the best. That place, I mean, it's been crying out for a menu facelift for quite a while.
Although they we brought did over, do a review last summer and thought it was quite good.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs a kick, and I think some of these maybe little tricks like the $10 pizza and wine will help. It is, but I think these are enthusiastic people.
I think that's going to be to get people in the door. But yeah. Then they brought one of the chefs from Hyde Park, Ben Gelcher, over. They're trying to take it up to I think the next level of food.
Yeah.
Now I used to work on the East Side in the late '80s, early '90s, and the Monk was packed all the time. If we had clients coming in from out of town, that's where we took them. If there was some special celebration at work, that's where everybody went. And I kind of, moved on, so I don't know what happened. But something obviously happened where the restaurant kind of lost its appeal to people over there.
I think, they changed chefs quite frequently. Uh-huh. I mean, it seemed like every 2 or 3 years they had a new chef in, and so there was never any level of consistency, and I think a lot of the crowd that the Monk attracts, which are mostly Bexley folks who have been going there for a year, and then some other people that come down from Upper Arlington for it, they come to expect certain things. It's not the most usually adventuresome crowd, and I think maybe it got inconsistent.
Well, I think people expect quality no matter what. You might have the same items on the menu, but you want them to taste the same every time you go.
Exactly. Well, they also have a piano bar that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Sonia Modes on Monday nights. My gal.
And, John, you did a review of The Top, which is also out in Bexley not too long ago, and elevated that to what, top 10 or top 20?
Top 20.
It's a great place.
Well, I think it's the most consistent of the, I'll call them high-end steakhouses, perhaps unfairly to the top because their pricing is so different from, say, a Ruth's Chris or a Hyde Park because there's none of this a la carte business where you order a $40 steak and all you get is a piece of meat in your plate.
That's
you have
right.
to pay extra for a potato, extra for a salad, extra for a vegetable.
$10 for asparagus, yeah.
Yeah, it's, the top is still your 1950s steakhouse where one price gets you a meal. And even at that, the price that they're charging is less than other high-end steakhouses, and they do a very good job with the steaks.
They also have a
I haven't had a better one.
A bargain night, don't they?
They've been trying to do different wine dinners and whatnot recently. Through some of the social media, I follow them on Facebook. I know they've got on September 30th the Joseph Kor wine dinner at 6:30. I believe it's four courses paired with wine for $70. Which, for the stuff that Top serves, that's really not too bad at all.
Yeah, wine dinners are a great way to pick up bargain, I'll call it bargain food, but done to the same standards that the restaurant would do on its priciest a la carte basis. Another place that comes to mind is the Worthington Inn that does one.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the first days of every month, the Refectory does a dinner on the first Friday of every month devoted to the cuisine of a particular French chef. And I think that's $55 for four or five courses. And you can get a wine package with it for a fairly modest fee on top of that. Luce up in North Powell has got Wednesdays devoted to selling their wines at state minimum, which Luce doesn't save as much as it does at most restaurants because their regular markup is much lower. But still, it's a savings that allow you to get a free appetizer in essence.
Yeah.
So if you look around, there are all kinds of bargains that you can get without compromising the quality of the food that you're eating.
292-8513. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about Columbus restaurants with Dispatch food reviewer John Christensen, along with WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son, Rich. John, I noticed that this week in the Weekender, you had a shorter review on Dirty Franks, which I always want to call Dirty Dog, so I always have to stop. And you liked it, I think, just as much as we did.
Sure. It's a great place to go. And gosh, you can hardly spend a lot of money there. I don't know how they do some of the items.
$3 for a hot dog. Yeah,
$3 for any of the hot dogs.
Well, a hot dog that's almost a meal because there's so much on it.
Yeah. You get can't eat more than two.
Yeah, and then the $2 sides. I mean, how good would they have to be for $2? And yet they are.
They are
better than
good.
Some sides at a number of higher priced restaurants.
Did you try the fried leek?
That's what I was going to say.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge to eat. I didn't know quite how to describe it. I think
I think that's
several
a finger
pictures.
Food.
Yeah, peel
but
them off.
For $2, yeah. You know, peel and eat. You can try everything on the menu. You don't need to read one of our reviews, I don't think.
No, I've been back 4 times, and I think I've tried everything on the menu.
Well, and this must be a case where volume makes up the difference because it's packed. There were people waiting outside the
door. Yeah,
there
was a line at lunchtime.
Well, both at 11:30 and, you know, I've been there at 1:45 in the afternoon.
And I don't remember the name of the cross street, but this is on
Rich
North 4th.
And Cherry. Between Rich and Cherry on 4th.
On 4th, yeah, okay. Yeah. 292-8513, and Justin is joining us. Hi.
Hi. Just wondering whether or not you guys know a good jazz piano bar, or even a Fuller's set with good food, and that's my question. I'll take my answer off the air.
It has to be jazz type piano.
Oops, he's already off the air.
I'm not sure I can help on that. The piano bars. The top.
Yeah, the top has a piano bar. They have, I think, 5 nights a week they have performers up there. It's just a single piano player. There's no other jazz accompaniment to it.
I believe I haven't been there in about a year, but the Hilton at Easton had a jazz bar, and it was a combo kind of jazz bar, a 3-piece, I'm not sure. I think they serve meals in that room. Certainly appetizing.
A new place opened up a couple months ago. I have not talked to anyone who's been there, so I can't say that it's great or not, called Von Jazz up at the Crosswoods. Basically, it's right off of 23 North, just above 270. And like I said, I haven't heard anything, but it's a pretty good size space. Looks like it's probably a nice restaurant. But, yeah, maybe check it out. If anybody knows anything, please call and say so.
And what's the name of that one again?
Von Jazz.
Is it
V-O-N space jazz.
Okay. 292-8513. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants with John Christensen of the Dispatch, along with Rich Terapak and his son, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU. And we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment.
The new Fox comedy series Glee has started its first season after a pilot episode that aired last spring. It's about a high school choir of losers and its director. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with the show's creator, Ryan Murphy. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Get down, girl, go ahead. Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon with the baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said,
and Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 and PR News. Tonight at 9:30 on Columbus on the Record, host Mike Thompson and his guests discuss health care reform and Ohio's congressional delegation, Obama's education speech controversy, casino campaign ads, and efforts to repeal the estate tax. Watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 9:30 on WOSU TV. And remember, you can hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Subscribe to podcasts of Arts Unscripted and reviews of the latest books, movies, local restaurants, and theater performances. Podcast stories from WOSU arts contributors at WOSU.org/podcasts. In the weather forecast for today, currently 71 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today and a beautiful day with a high of 78. Some clouds tonight, and then skies begin to clear after midnight, a low of 52. Sunshine for Saturday and a high of 75. And now back to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820.
I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about restaurants today. We have a couple of callers on the line. Before we go to them, however, Rich, you had another suggestion for that caller looking for jazz.
Right, for jazz, actually, the Bexley's Monk that we were speaking about just recently, and we also should mention their new menu comes out on September 28th. They're under new ownership and chef, but they have a new menu the 28th. They have on Monday nights kind of an open musicians night where a bunch of the professors from Capitol come over and play with Sonia Modes, who is a jazz pianist legend in Columbus. She's been playing for 50 or 60 years around town. And they just kind of jam out. They do, you know, standards, jazz. There's horns, guitar. But it's a wonderful time. My wife and I go over there quite often.
And this is just Monday nights.
And this is just Monday nights that they do that. They do have bands several nights of the week, but that's one that if the caller was looking for jazz, you just sit in the bar area, get a wood-fired pizza.
Spaggio's used to do a jazz night, I think, on Tuesdays, but I haven't frequented that recently, so I don't know.
And that's on Grandview
Avenue. Grandview, yeah.
Well, I'm afraid he'll have to look around a little bit, but we've done the best we can. 292-8513, and we have Pat on the line. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. I just wanted to respond to the jazz question also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Worthington Inn is a great place for that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Right.
And I didn't know if it was mentioned. I didn't think so. But that I think it's every Friday night, but I know weekends they do have jazz. They have a whole schedule for
I think they may do a jazz brunch on Sundays as well. I think
they
may.
I
know you can go to their website and see, but yeah, that's a great one. We actually knew that and neglected to mention it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have to promote it.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. 292-8513, and Annie's joining us. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about my favorite new restaurant in town.
Okay.
It's called Victoria. And it's on Sawmill, about 5 minutes north of 270. I think it's Sawmill and Presidential Parkway. But it's an Italian restaurant that's been open for about a year, and I recently discovered it. And it is, hands down, the best Italian restaurant I've ever been to.
And it's called Victoria?
Victoria, with two T's in the middle.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Victoria. Yeah.
Victoria.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And John Christensen is shaking his head. Apparently you've been there or you're familiar.
Yes, I did review it soon after it opened. I haven't been back since then, but the price structure there was, I thought, very low for the ambiance, which is pretty much that of a high-end steakhouse.
Definitely. When I was talking to one of the servers there, she was telling me how they pride themselves in keeping the wine prices low. And, you know, the dinner price is low for the quality of food that you get. I think it's very reasonably priced.
So this is good food and good ambience from what you say. And
reasonable price.
How can it miss?
Yeah.
And the tiramisu is awesome.
Isn't it always?
292-8513 if you'd like to join our conversation today about restaurants. You were talking during the break about a new restaurant that had just opened.
It's not so new. Well, there's one new one near me that I did want to mention, Moshi Sushi in the Bexley Gateway at East Main and Parkview Avenue. I've been over there for lunch several times. They have a $10 bento box for lunch that is an absolute feast. It comes with a couple chicken wings, some tempura vegetables, some bulgogi, a pot sticker. You know, it's just – it's a meal, and it's really good. I've been there for dinner as well, and it's a little more pricey end, but if you want to get over there and try it, we need sushi on the east side.
For sushi on the east side.
Yeah. It's a great addition to Bexley.
You Capital students get over there.
Yeah, and then I also wanted to mention the last time that my dad was on and they had John Champlin on the show – he mentioned a place called Indochine, which I think, John, you've reviewed as well. And it's out on Hamilton Road between – kind of in the middle between Broad and Main, out on the east side. And, I mean, they have the best – if you like pho, pho, which is basically a noodle soup with
– that was maybe a fake food or something.
Bamboo shoots and basil and, they make their own stock there and it is – just fabulous. I've been back four times in the last month, and that's called Indochine.
And Rich's wife, Cindy, knows a great deal about Asian cooking.
Well, I think John maybe does too, because I swear the last five or six reviews you've done have been on Asian restaurants.
That's what keeps opening.
Seems like it, but what's opening up, as I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. Is Asian and Mexican. I don't know if that's somehow tied to the recession, but we're not getting what I'll call white tablecloth Western restaurants opening up. I think the ones that we already have are just trying to survive. And it,
I think the most recent was probably Deep Wood, the back room.
Yes, and that was quite some time ago.
Yeah, that's about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, very fine operation, too.
And that's going strong despite its kind of quirky location.
As far as I can tell, I don't know what their obviously what their sales are like, but it's a wonderfully appointed place. We talked about Vittoria being so nice, and Deep Wood is equally nice, and I think equally a great buy for the quality of the food that they're doing, and also for their wine pricing.
It's on North High Street, just opposite the north end of the convention center.
Yeah. On Indochine that we were mentioning, if you haven't been there for a few years, it's in a different location. It's a couple of blocks.
So this is an existing place that moved to a different location, is it?
Right. It was along the same row, if you will.
It was in a strip mall, and they bought what looks like it was an old fast food or something location, but now they are a standalone place. Mm-hmm. They're a little closer to Broad than Main now.
So if you go looking for the one you had been to, just go a couple blocks north.
Well, could it be, though, that the people's palates have changed and that they want Asian food or they want Mexican food now more than ever before?
It could be, but with a lot of restaurants, you have to take into account the fact that plans are made more than a year in advance. For instance, getting financing, getting architectural plans, getting a lease. By the time that's all done, you have a huge amount of lead time, even for locally owned restaurants and especially for chains. So the commitments have been made, and I think that the people who are putting money into restaurants right now think that you need to satisfy this apparently bottomless appetite for sushi so that just about any Asian restaurant that opens up has to have a large sushi menu. And so that's true of the Mark Pye Jr.'s operation up in the North Powell area, Sawmill Parkway area, called Kogan.
You reviewed that today, didn't you, John?
Yes, and he's right across the street, very wide street to be sure, but across the street from another sushi place. So the people who are putting money into restaurants are betting on sushi-based Oriental restaurants, and they're also betting on Mexican restaurants because I think with Mexican food, if you have a good manager and a good executive chef, you can put a lot of food on the table for a reasonable price.
Yeah. One place that I noticed has it all. I went down to the Kroger's in the Brewery District to pick up some groceries. They've always had a jazz group at lunch on Friday, by the way. They've now enlarged their sushi bar. It's probably 20 feet long. They have wine by the glass.
So, that's quite a sophisticated crowd down there.
All Kroger's could be like that Kroger.
Well, we do have another recommendation from Derek, who emailed us at allsides@wosu.org. For food and jazz, he suggests the Hyde Park on Old Henderson. And every Friday, and I hope I don't mispronounce it, it's the Mark Flugy or Flugy Trio. And then Saturday night is the Bob Allen Trio. So there's apparently more jazz going on here than we first thought.
And Bob Allen hasn't been playing quite as long as Sonia Modes, but has been a real asset.
Well,
to the
Sonia
community.
Apparently sang out of her covered wagon at some point. She's been there for quite some
listening.
Time.
You know, speaking of durability, we had a caller suggesting Vittoria to us earlier. The person in charge of desserts there is Stella Chapin, the former owner of Casa di Pasta.
Oh, my gosh.
And
she still
works the dining room.
She's got to be 80-something then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well into her 80s, and still makes the desserts and insists on coming out of the kitchen several times a night to basically work the dining room like a maitre d'.
Well, and when I first worked here, when I got out of my covered wagon, we all, you know, the people that worked at WSU used to go up there all the time.
Yeah.
It was a great little restaurant.
Yeah.
But we've had certainly an explosion of restaurants, even since I've been in Columbus. You know, the Short North didn't exist, you know, however many years ago. But I think Marzetti's and the High Line, and there was just really a handful. And Columbus was ripe for developing, apparently, because it's a wonderful restaurant town now.
Yeah. The other new one that's opened, and I don't know if it has tablecloths at night. We went there for lunch, I believe. Is Level One, Level?
Oh, yeah. Just Level.
Just
Level.
Not being there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And down in the Short North, yeah, they have the same menu for lunch and dinner. You know, it's pretty reasonably priced. It's pretty, you know, trendy kind of place. They certainly spared no expense on the decor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like it's, you know, kind of more of a happening bar, you know, in the evenings. But we had lunch there and thought it was very good.
Yeah.
And that was the former
Snappers,
DJ Snappers,
RJ Snappers,
RJ Snappers, and the room is it's been completely renovated, as has the menu. And I think you could probably describe at least the lunch menu as upscale bar food in a way. But although I think we were
price points between $9 and $14.
Well,
though,
and so. Anymore, I guess it's $8 or $9 for a sandwich is reasonable to people who go. I bring my lunch every day to save money, so it seems steep to me. But I guess that's the going rate.
I should mention we usually get calls about breakfast food, and. We have a wellness program at the office, so I had to starve myself till 10 o'clock to get a blood test the other day. And I went to Danny's, the place on Front Street.
Place is great.
with the pastrami sandwiches.
Oh, I love that place.
Well, they have corned beef hash, two eggs, corned beef hash, and toast for $3.25.
Well, the problem with that, with Danny's, is that it's in such a difficult location in terms of parking. Because it's at Park and
Front.
In Front.
Yeah. I mean, unless you work in the Huntington building or
Front and Broad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really a difficult place to go. If it's your destination, you've got to find someplace, and there's no street parking, I don't think.
Right. Now, they cater to mostly folks who work in the Huntington Center, the Rife Center, and at the State Capitol.
Yeah. Because even I go back there all the time.
Even on foot, it's kind of hard to find.
Yeah, it's kind of below ground.
Right. Well, it is below ground, and there's an awning there that tells you where it is, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But it's well worth the treasure hunt because the sandwiches, and I remember you ordered the little Nicky.
which is about a pound of corned beef or pastrami.
Well, smaller than the big Nicky. But it's a wonderful place and certainly well attended at lunchtime.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention one just relative disappointment to me. It's a new addition to town. It's a franchise, I believe, out of Washington, D.C. called Five Guys Burgers and Fries. I have heard nothing but amazing things about this place.
And there's one in Westerville.
And they plaster their accolades all over their cups and their napkins. And I got to say, I had the one out at Easton. It was very, very disappointing.
Really?
So just before anyone gets their hopes too high.
Tell us more. I went to the one at Polaris.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good for what they were doing.
They advertise their burgers as, you know, well done but juicy. They were certainly well done, quite overcooked. I thought the buns were entirely too doughy for a cheeseburger. The fries, you know, they're fresh cut, you know, fried in peanut oil, which, you know, those were pretty good. That's tough to mess up. But, they do made-to-order burgers, and everything, you know, the ingredients were all quite fresh. But as far as the burger patty and the buns, you know, two of the essentials to the dish – I found it awful, I'll be honest.
John liked the one in Polaris, so maybe we need to have somebody from Five Guys do a quality control check.
Well, there is one on campus, too, in the South Gateway, which may have been the first one.
I think
one.
They're due to open at least five, if not more, right in the Columbus area. It's interesting that even with an extremely limited menu, you can have quality control problems across locally placed units of a national chain or at least a regional chain.
Well, sure, depending on how you cook a hamburger, you can pretty much ruin it.
So it still has to be – something still has to be done by hand every time.
You have to deal those little sliders out at the White Castle, which are always good, by the way.
And so what are the price points at Five Guys? Are they expensive?
I think a single patty is $3.99 and then – they call it, I think, a mini burger or something, is the single patty, which is, you know, your standard quarter pounder. And then they have another one that's $5.99, which is two patties, and then you order, you know, fries and whatnot additionally. So it's not expensive or anything. Yeah. I just, you know, I guess I'd heard so much, and
well,
you know, Barack Obama loves them, and, you know, he's never wrong, so.
Well, and of course, I think, but even locally, we have all heard, you know, great things about, and people waiting with bated breath for this restaurant.
I waited in a 25-person line to get my burger at Easton. Wow. I mean, and
that
got my hopes pretty high.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go back and give it another try. Yeah. In the meantime, conversely, I guess, Dewey's, which was a Cincinnati shop out of Cincinnati, opened here a couple of months ago, and they were gracious enough to cater a luncheon here at WOSU, which is where I first got a taste. And it's not too far from where I live, so we've been swinging by there and picking up pizzas. And it is wonderful. It's the way pizza tasted that I remember when I was a kid. Plus, they've got these wonderful specialty pizzas. But consistently, every time we've gotten a pizza there, it's
where is it located
great.
Again?
On Fifth Avenue. And this is a standalone. It's across from the
Taco
Bell. It's next
to the Snacks Car Wash.
Right. Okay. Which I keep describing for my husband, who can't quite seem to find it, so I get to pick up the Vita. But it's a pleasure. Everybody's just been so polite, you know, nice kids that work in there. And there is a bar area, so you can go and sit down and eat as well.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, me too.
292-8513. Gary's joining us, and we just have a couple of minutes. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, since you were talking about burgers, I thought it only fair to call and recommend again Graffiti Burger on Sawmill. They've been open about a year, I think, and they're opening their second in Grandview. I think they follow Starbucks and open their stores when Starbucks closes. Great burgers.
Good plan.
fresh fries. And that's it. Burgers, fries, and drink. Milkshakes aren't bad, and their veggie burger is, we think it's the best in Columbus.
Better than the North Star?
That's an unfair question. I'm not going to knock North Star. I really like it. But my wife thinks it's better, yeah. Plus, it's cheaper, a little smaller in size, so it you don't walk out stuffed. Their buns are locally produced. And fresh, of course, as you would expect. And their fries are excellent. No frozen. So it's a good place.
And where is this in Grandview, the location?
I think it's in the old Starbucks that was on 5th and near 5th and Grandview.
Okay, I know where you mean.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the one on Sawmill is in a Kroger's shopping center just north of 270.
Okay.
270 Exchange.
All right. Thanks very much for that call. We will
sure.
We'll have to do a little round of burger chomping.
Sounds like we got to head to 5th and Grandview. We got a lot to eat.
Well, I don't know if it's open yet, but it's Graffiti Burger located both on Sawmill and one coming to Grandview soon. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. A quick reminder of the Franklin Park event.
Field to Table.
It's
going on this weekend. Tonight's a private event they sold tickets to, but Saturday and Sunday they have guest speakers and authors and chefs coming in. It's about $10 or $12 over at Franklin Park Conservatory.
And plenty of cooking. Thank
plenty
you.
Plenty of cooking.
John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, along with Rich Terrapack and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU. This is All Sides Weekend, and it is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News, and news is next from NPR.